Good morning and welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you and crucial to this community. Well, have you ever considered becoming a foster parent? Seriously, have you ever considered it? Many of us have or thought about it, but don't act on those instincts. Well, throughout the Pikes Peak region, there are many children in foster care and many others looking for a safe and loving temporary home that could make a forever difference in their lives. So the question again, would you consider providing a child a home? Give the gift of a home, as it were, as we approach the new year and ponder how we resolve making ourselves better and turning over a new leaf. Joining me this morning with more about becoming a foster parent or simply supporting those in foster care, we're pleased to have with us the placement coordinator for Kids Crossing, Ben Scotch. Did I say that right, Ben?
Yeah, Ben Shock is my name. Yeah.
Shock.
You're pretty okay. Close, though. Yeah, you're right there.
Okay, sounds good. And also with Kids Crossing, Sarah Bailey, who's a specialist of recruitment and retention, joining us this morning on The Extra. Sarah, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Let's start with Ben. We'll talk to Sarah in just a bit. But Ben, a lot of people may be unfamiliar with Kids Crossing, what it does, what its purpose and mission are. A longtime local placement agency, for those of us who do know it, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about it?
Yeah, Kids Crossing is a child placement agency here in Colorado. We have an office in Colorado Springs and another satellite office in Denver, Pueblo, and down in La Junta as well. But we were originated out of the Colorado Springs, El Paso County area, and we are a private, nonprofit child placement agency that works with all of the counties, including El Paso County, with children coming into foster care. And we're able to recruit, match, support children coming into care from the local foster care system and the Department of Human Services. So we serve a lot of local youth here and youth throughout the state.
And sometimes these youth are coming into the foster care placement having endured ordeals, trauma. So definitely there are considerations to be made. But when it comes right down to it, who makes up the ideal foster family?
You know, I think the ideal foster family is really anyone or any family that's willing to help and wanting to open their heart and their home to a child in need. And, you know, I think that, you know, we have an idea of what foster care might be based on the movies or television or articles we read. But it's really just about making sure that we can support and take care of those kids in this moment that they need a family and a safe place to be. And so I think that, you know, when you talk about ideal families, that, you know, it's not this cookie cutter, you know, kind of approach. I think, you know, anybody can be the ideal family if they're willing to be open and supportive and have a relationship that could be a long lasting impact on a child coming into foster care. So, right. You know, a single parent to a family of five or someone living in an apartment to, you know, someone with a house in a rural area, you know, ideal is going to be kind of in the eye of the beholder for sure. And anybody who's willing to help, I think we can have a conversation with.
Okay, so when you're thinking of becoming a foster family or foster parent, what kinds of certifications or trainings are needed?
Yeah, there's an initial training that's set up kind of based on, you know, rules and regulations and state guidelines, and we try to tweak those and make sure that they fit the particular needs of the kids that we're working with. We want to make sure we are training and talking to the foster parents about, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of those trauma, you know, situations that come into care that trigger a child coming into foster care. We want to make sure we support and address those things the best we can. But there is, a minimum amount of hours of initial training. And then you have to do, you know, CPR certified, background checks, those types of things, criminal records and whatnot. And then there's going to be ongoing trainings as well. So, you know, once you're licensed, you know, the journey doesn't really end there. That's when more of the supports kick in, and we can have ongoing training throughout the time that you're a foster parent and throughout the time you have kids in your home. We want to make sure that we're supporting and meeting those needs and meeting you at where you're at as a family and helping these kids move along and heal have a more productive time as we kind of move forward with their foster care placement.
So if someone is a foster family through Kids Crossing, is their primary point of contact for, finding out information, maybe, settling any concerns that they may have, is it your organization or do they turn to the state?
No, they can definitely contact us directly. And, my coworker, Sarah Bailey, she's a part of this call and she can be, give you a little bit more detail on the recruiting side of things. But you can check us out, kidscrossing.com. Our Facebook page is active, Kids Crossing. We definitely have a presence where we want to be able to answer any questions of any family that reaches out to us and has some interest in foster care or just wants to be a part of a foster child's life. Maybe it could be in a way that is not a direct impact, but it could have an impact that's lasting indirectly. So we definitely have all of those things in place and ways that we can answer all those questions. A good place to start is online, and we can go from there.
Okay. And when you think of foster parents and foster placements, I know people wonder, is there any compensation, and why is there compensation? What do you say?
I think anybody who's been a parent or been around or even, someone who has some children in their life of any kind, you kind of know that, it does, if you want to, meet all of the needs of a child, you have to have some resources there for you. And definitely there is some compensation. There's a reimbursement or a stipend that foster parents get per month per child in their home. And so, there's been a lot of work done recently to make sure that those are fair compensations and reimbursements to be able to cover the cost of raising a child and to get their needs met and to make sure that, the families have what they can get to support the children while they're in their homes. So there is, again, that compensation and that reimbursement on a monthly basis to make sure that the children's needs can be met while they're in the foster care system.
Right. And we know we're entering this joyous season and so many gatherings center around families and for kids who are dealing with needing a foster parent to step in because for whatever reason, their natural parent, birth parent or what have you isn't able to be with them. It can be a real stressful time of year, can't it?
Oh, yeah. I think the holidays can be a real stressful time of year for a lot of people. And I think that, being away from family or being in a situation that you're unfamiliar with or, a situation where you feel like you may not have a lot of control over as a young person or a child, that definitely can add to the stress. And I think, again, you have an idea of what the holidays may be like. And a lot of us, like I said, it's a hard time for a lot of people. But you can imagine kind of being a child and kind of feeling a little bit lost and this time of year, and we definitely want to be, a safe place and a soft landing and be able to support them and try to make sure that, that they get something positive out of this, time of year and this experience, and they can learn some things, and they might not be with their family right now, but they are with a family that cares and loves them and is taking care of them and making sure that they get maybe take some exposure to some new family traditions or, some more different cultural things or, just there's a lot of ways to support a child to make sure that they, feel included in a positive holiday experience.
Certainly. Well, the conversation just beginning here on The Extra. We're talking to Ben Schock and Sarah Bailey with Kids Crossing. And next up, we're going to be talking to Sarah, bringing her into the conversation, talking about some of those recruitment and retention issues that probably they, like a lot of other nonprofit agencies that are trying to provide something for kids in need, are up against. So we'll talk about that much more as The Extra continues. You're listening to KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today we're talking about giving the gift of home, talking about becoming a foster parent or simply supporting those in foster care. Our guest today, Ben Schock, you were just hearing from him from Kids Crossing, and Sarah Bailey, who's the recruitment and retention specialist with Kids Crossing. So, Sarah, what do you tell individuals who are interested in foster care?
I would tell someone that is interested in foster care to reach out, to ask questions, to do research. It is shown that when people start thinking about foster care, it takes about 18 months before they are ready and take that leap. So if it's something that you're interested in, there is no rush to start the process and to start the application and start the classes, but to start asking questions and really doing a deep dive into some research.
Well, and we certainly know that those who are interested in learning more about foster care will be answering more of those questions a little later on in this show. But there are ways that you can support kids in foster care, and one of those is the annual toy drive. Tell us about that, Sarah.
Yeah, so we are amping up to get ready for Christmas, just like everybody else, and we give every kid in our home some gifts off their wish list, and we do that with the huge support of the community that we live in. Right now, we are doing a virtual wish list, so you can find it on our website, and it actually links to Amazon to the actual gifts that the kids have asked for.
Oh, I love that idea.
Trying to make it really easy for everyone.
It's like a Christmas giving tree, but even more specific, so it helps the kids get exactly what they wanted. Because sometimes I've picked something off that and it says top, you know, size whatever. And it's like, well, big range of tops there, you know. You'd want to make sure it's something that the child really wants and really desires for Christmas. Okay, so tell us about some of the items that you would find on the toy list.
Oh, there's such a wide range. It goes anywhere from baby toys, so teething rings or a bouncer, to Barbies and LOLs, to an ant farm actually is even on our list, to teenagers wanting earbuds or gift cards so that they can kind of make some purchases on their own, or shoes. Our teen boys love those Nike shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And are actually more specific than our girls are, believe it or not.
Well, sometimes they can be picky, right? And you mentioned kind of the age ranges, but is it really spanning the gamut that much?
It is. It's anywhere from 0 to 21.
Okay.
We have kids in care all the way up to age 21, and we want to get them something for Christmas, just like all the other kids. And those are like bakeware items or a crock pot, because they're getting ready to go on their own and want to try to get as much for an apartment as they can.
Right. And I know that people, when they're just gathering toys indiscriminately for donation, I know a lot of us just gravitate naturally towards the toys that are maybe more suitable for the younger age ranges. But you pointed out a real important thing that some of these older kids who still want, as anyone does, to find something special under the tree, that their needs need to be considered as well. How many children and families are you collecting toys for this year?
So we are collecting toys for about 115 families throughout our four offices, and that's about 250 kids.
That's significant. Is that up or down, or how is that tracking with years past?
It's up. We're growing every year, so we're getting more families. So it's a little up. It's similar to last year, but it's a little up from last year.
And by donating to this toy drive, does it save these families who already are probably pretty stretched with the extra costs of caring for a foster child? Does it help them put their money into something that, or their compensation into something that is really benefiting the day-to-day needs of the child?
Absolutely. It is a tremendous help to our families when they don't have to try to figure out how to get a bunch of gifts for all of these kids, and we're able to come in and help provide for that. It's a tremendous relief in a very stressful season for anybody.
And so you mentioned the Amazon wish list. So how would people tap into this? How would they find out about that or order a gift?
So it's on our website, which is www.kidscrossing.com. And there's a very big bright red link at the top, or a button at the top that you just push, and then you get access to our very large wish list. And then you can click on any name and it takes you right to Amazon.
Okay. And I'm assuming also you could maybe drop off donated Amazon gift cards too. That would maybe help as well.
Oh, absolutely. We will take any type of gift. So if you are not an Amazon shopper, you can absolutely drop anything off at our office, and we will make sure it gets to the right child.
Because you can find those gift cards anywhere at King Soopers checkout lines or Lowe's or Home Depot. I mean, I see them all over the place. So definitely it's something that's easily accessible for someone who's maybe not as technologically savvy or doesn't want to do that.
Yes, absolutely. And even a $10 Chick-fil-A gift card is a huge help because we have teenagers that ask for fast food gift cards so they can go out with their friends or eat a special lunch, and they want to be able to do that on their own. And so even a $10 Chick-fil-A gift card is a huge help.
Okay. Your understanding of how much teens rack up at Chick-fil-A is a lot different than mine, because my daughter can never get out of there for under $15. I don't know what she's ordering. But yeah, $10, $20, you know, take your pick, definitely. All right, we'll continue the conversation here. We've got Sarah Bailey, Recruitment and Retention Specialist with Kids Crossing, as well as Ben Schock, Placement Coordinator for Kids Crossing, joining us today to talk about the importance of thinking about becoming a foster parent or foster family, and why that is a worthy endeavor, why it can help so much in our community, help provide a bridge for children who are in need of that stable living place so that they can make it through whatever experience they're going through at this particular time. We'll be back with more of The Extra right after these messages. We're back with our Thursday edition of The Extra, and certainly today is a day we're focusing on it, we're shining the spotlight on it, but it's a need that exists year-round. It's constant. We're talking about the need for foster families, foster parents who can provide a home, give the gift of a home to children who are going through the care situation that requires them to be placed in foster care. Our guest today, we are so pleased to have with us Sarah Bailey and Ben Schock of Kids Crossing. And Ben, why don't I bring you into this conversation, as we talked with you earlier, but now let's ask, we know this can be a difficult time of year for kids in foster care, because it does bring up sometimes the absence that maybe they feel more keenly. How does Kids Crossing support foster care families and the children who are definitely the center of the focus?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a number of ways. One of those is to kind of try to help maintain the connections when all possible with, biological families or extended families throughout this time of year, or any time of year, really. So, visitations and communication between a child and their family is always important to all of us, and we want to make sure we can do that whenever possible. And then on the other side of it, while they're in foster care, we want to make sure that, they have a trusted person to talk to, whether that's the foster parents or if they're working in therapy with a trusted therapist. We have a number of therapeutic and clinical services available for kids. And then also kind of just making sure that we are a part of the case planning and support from some of the other outside agencies as well. There's a number of different partner agencies that all of our foster parents or foster kids work with, and we want to make sure that we're able to accommodate those relationships and the communication and case planning and make sure that, everybody's working together, moving forward to support the children in care.
And sometimes, Ben, it may not be enough for the foster parents and Kids Crossing working together to solve what may be problems in terms of the need for counseling services or something. So is that professional, for instance, counseling care, is that available to foster families?
Yes. I mean, that's something that is always available to any of the families we work with and the number of the children in our community. We can provide therapeutic services, family therapy, specific therapy for, trauma-focused work. There's a number of different modalities that we can use, from in-home services to more traditional kind of office-based kind of therapy sessions. All of the kids coming into care will their insurance and whatnot is never a problem. They're all going to minimally qualify for Medicaid, so that it's not going to be an out-of-pocket expense for any of the children or families or foster homes that are working with any of the kids. So, we want to make sure that we put the services in place that are needed in that moment, can help a child kind of navigate through some difficult times and hopefully, you know, again, you know, start to heal and work past some of the trauma that they've experienced and move towards a more kind of healthy, productive way of life.
And are these counseling support services, are they something that is just limited to the families who are foster families through Kids Crossing, or is this something that's open to all?
Yeah, I think there were, I mean, it would probably depend on, you know, different kinds of insurances and funding sources. I don't know if I'm prepared to speak on to all of the services that qualify,
right.
But
mm-hmm.
anybody with Medicaid can definitely access any of our services, and we're open to supporting in kids and families throughout the community whenever possible. We'd have to go through, you know, I don't know the scheduling and whatnot and availability of others, but we definitely have been a resource for children in the community that have not been in foster care as well. So it's just not limited to children in foster care. It can be, you know, any child or family in the community. We definitely are open to working with you.
And earlier we were talking with Sarah about some of the older children. I mean, it's important to keep in mind that it's not just 7 and 8 and 9 year olds that are the foster kids or babies. There are also older teens. And at a certain point, the youngsters who've been in foster care get ready to phase out of the foster care system. That can be a very scary and tricky time. So what are some of the programs that Kids Crossing can dovetail or offers for some of these kids who are in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, along with kind of that traditional kind of therapeutic work, we do offer some kind of in-community or in-home-based services, more life skills, kind of you know, building of some of those daily kind of needed life skills throughout your life as you grow up and mature and kind of grow from a young adult into an adult on your own. But one of the more exciting programs that we've kind of developed kind of throughout our time with COVID is a program that is a therapeutic work program that helps teach skills to young people and helps make them with some connections throughout the community. It's called Groundbreakers. It's with it is a part of the Kids Crossing organization, but a coworker of mine, his name's Brad. He comes with a number of years of experience working with youth in this community, and you know, he's developed a program that I think is going to be beneficial to, again, kind of make sure that we identify those kids that need help and those age ranges that are vital, that are getting ready to emancipate or live on their own, but also connect them with some people that are going to be able to help them build some skills, build some confidence, make some connections, and then work towards a more productive kind of life after foster care. And so, you know, they do a lot of skill building, but they also do a lot of, you know, hands-on kind of work as far as, you know, they do some kind of basic kind of handiwork around the house. They have some connections with other companies and agencies around the community that can do more kind of hospitality work or, you know, kind of more specific to, you know, any kind of vocational work. And so we're definitely growing that program. And COVID has, you know, presented some challenges for all of us. We want to make sure we kind of keep everybody safe and healthy, but we definitely want to make sure and recognize that there's a need for some of that hands-on, direct kind of instruction work that is going to be beneficial for these kids moving forward.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we are talking to the folks from Kids Crossing. It's a really critical partner in the nonprofit sector in placing foster kids in families and with parents that are prepared to help them bridge this difficult time that they may be undergoing. And sometimes it can definitely open the way to future forever families, correct?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, we kind of talk about being the parents that these kids need right now, but those connections that we make with kids and families throughout their time that they're working with us can be lifelong and lasting and very impactful on a lot of kids coming in into foster care. And so if we can have that type of impact on a child and set them up for some positives in their future, then I think we've done our job. We definitely want to make sure we give them what they need in this moment, but we want to set them up for a positive future as well. So I think that forever link and those forever families and all of those relationships can be lasting and impactful and, like I said, just be beneficial moving forward.
Fantastic. Well, Ben Schock, stick around. We'll be getting some final thoughts. You can also, our listeners, go to kidscrossing.com to find out more information. We need to take a short break. We'll be back with more of The Extra. Welcome back to The Extra as we are continuing the conversation with the folks from Kids Crossing. Sarah Bailey, a recruitment and retention specialist with the nonprofit, joining us now. Okay, so Sarah, we kind of touched on this a bit ago. Who is the ideal foster family? And what do you tell people who might be interested in becoming one?
The ideal foster family is anyone that is willing to open their home and provide a safe, loving place for a child that needs a landing spot for a time while their family gets the help that they need. It's someone that is able to walk this journey with this child and understand that there are going to be bumps in the road, but those bumps in the road have nothing to do with that family. It has to do with the experiences that child's gone through in their life and helping them walk through those tough times.
Okay. And we know that giving a child a home anytime, but especially over the holidays, can really be rewarding and life-changing. Can you share with us some stories that I'm sure you've collected over the years of how a life has been changed, how a child has blossomed in finding the right childcare placement?
Absolutely. There are so many stories where a child will come in to the home and they will start to feel safe and they'll, you know, start to learn something new, or they'll start to walk when they haven't really been walking or talking, and they'll start to flourish and have so many words. Or a teenager that comes into a home and finally finds a spot that's going to tolerate their behaviors and figure out how to get that child through the trauma that they've experienced, and it's just going to be there for that teen for as long as that teenager needs. And that teenager can not only grow, but also work through that trauma and start to build healthy relationships and feel connection and do well in school. Or a child that's bounced from home to home that finally founds a home that is going to be there forever and isn't going anywhere. And you see the roller coaster ride that means for that family, but they're in it.
And in it in a good way. Let's bring in Ben Schock, who's been talking to us earlier. Ben, as we get ready to wrap up this hour-long conversation on the need for people to really go back to their hearts and find out if they have ever thought about being a foster parent, now may be the time to really dig down and investigate what that would look like and how to take the practical steps to becoming one. What would you like to share with our listeners?
You know, I think I would like to, you know, remind people to kind of look within and some of the things that they're already probably doing. I've been a part of different schools and social circles and, you know, sports teams with my own children and whatnot, but I talk to people every day and a lot of people are already doing all the things that foster parents are doing, whether they know it or not, whether it's formal or not. Right. I mean, I think taking care of, you know, nieces and nephews sometimes, or watching kids, or giving a little bit of extra attention to, you know, a neighbor child, or, you know, some kids from the sports teams, or, you know, just being that trusted adult that forms those relationships with kids that really doesn't have to be there, but they choose to be there. A lot of people are already doing those things and they have that in their heart and they have that in part of their family culture. And, you know, I think that, you know, this is just a way to kind of formalize some of that, put some supports in place and help someone through those journeys without having to have them do that by themselves. And, you know, I think that there's such a big heart in our community with just taking care of each other and kids and children in particular. But, you know, I just want to remind our listeners out there that a lot of people are already doing this and they're doing a great job. And this is just maybe taking that one extra step to kind of formalize what you're already doing and formalize the processes and get some help and some support and some training and you know, get the most out of what you want to put out there for the kids around you. Mm. So I think that there's, like I said, a lot of good people out there, a lot of great hearts in our community, and I just want to make sure that we are can possibly be a vehicle for bigger successes on the foster care side of things.
Well, certainly that's reason enough right there, what you offered. But then, of course, I'm sure the gratitude of the children or the appreciation, it may be that it's just having that safe, stable spot where they can unpack their things and don't have to worry about, moving at a moment's notice. I mean, that provides just a level of stability and comfort and steadiness that it is definitely needed in families that have been ripped apart by whatever circumstances are bringing them to the foster care system. Let's bring in Sarah Bailey once again. And Sarah, any final thoughts you'd like our listeners to take away with them from this hour of The Extra?
Just that if you are interested in foster care, if you have thought about foster care in the past, please reach out. I would love to have a conversation with you. I'd love to answer any questions that you have. There are no silly questions. It is a huge life decision, and I'd love to chat about it with you.
All right. And also, if they want to find out about providing toys for your toy drive, so easy. I love this idea. Tell people how they can do that again.
They can go to our website at www.kidscrossing.com.
Right. And there you'll be able to find the Amazon wish list, and that will lead you to the specific gifts that have been requested by kids in the foster care system who are wanting something a little special under the Christmas tree. It may be that this might be the most special gift they get all their lives. So definitely do take a look and do try to provide for that need. I'd like to thank our guests today, Ben Schock and Sarah Bailey. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And to our listeners, we appreciate you spending this hour here on KRDO News Radio. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.